So, dear friends, so before I start my sharings, I would like to invite you to sit, to invite to each other bell so that you can enjoy your, bring yourself back, establish yourself, bring your mind and body, united your mind and body together, so you can generate the warmth in yourself. Maybe a little bit cold outside when we walk, but when we sit in straight positions and get our mind body together, and we can generate the warmth inside of our body. So you can heat up this room and make it really feel warm. So just enjoy and relax. Sit with your body back straight, but in relaxed positions. So, good morning, everyone. So, today is February the 14th, and we are at the Compassionate Dharma Club on Asri with our monthly Day of Mindfulness. We just have only one day a month, and the rest of the other days you spend somewhere else, at your house, at your workplace. And today is the 14th of February, is what? Valentine's Day. And many young people have gift for each other, right? For love. So, go in accordance with the day of Valentine, I will talk about love. That is our topic today, love, and what the Buddha say about love, and what is what the Buddha have teach about love, and what is this, how is it different from the worldly love. So we will together learn that, so that we can make ourselves stronger in love. And I think love is it's like food. Without love, we cannot grow. I bless you. And there is many research on that too. And children are born and they have separate two group of children. And one group of children is raised by the nurse, right? And one group raised by their parents. And they see how... what is the difference? How is that the group of children grow? But they found that the group with their parents, with really warm love, they grow healthy. And group, even though the nurse give them love, but it might be a different love. Their love not really authentic. You know, you do it because what you have to do as a work. And it's on the surface, you can say it's love, but because it's not genetic, it's not authentic. So the baby can feel that. Children is very sensitive on the subject of love. Not only children, but we also. If you are close to someone, and you can feel they really, really love you or not. and through their expressions, through their words, and through their way of acting, through their look, you know. And you can feel that, you can see that, that. But if you're lucky, you have some true love, then you can grow very healthy. I remember when I was young. My mom passed away when I was 3, so I had to run around, wandering around. This is like look for food. So I don't receive authentic love, actually. So, and I can see that I very short and lack of nutrition, one thing, but the other is a lack of love. And I very small and skinny. Skinny and small. And even though my age is high, but my growth ability is not going in accordance with my age. So when we go to refugee camp, and my dad had to lower my age 6 years old. Right now, in my document, I have to, like, 6 years later, you know, it's supposed to be 30, 40, but now only 30-something. So my dad, because he tells too, but they never know. Nobody, you know, the people who are interviewing us not trust, you know, maybe lie, you know, go to America and get more, like, retirement early. Yes, early retirement, you know. So my dad had to lower my age down for 6 years in order for me to catch up. So I lack in that kind of things a lot. And I think you experience that in your life too. Every one of us, you experience that. If you have a husband and wife, if your husband or wife really love you, then you feel you are very nurturing. Nourishing, and you feel the sense of happy, too happy, and you can see the expression on your face, and you can smile with fresh, with open heart. So today I will talk about, I will redefine the term of love first, and then we will go further on different stories on love. So first, I'm talking about conditioned love. And I think many of us here already know what conditioned love is. So conditioned love, and I would think of the term of samsaric love. You know what samsara is? It's a cycle. So samsaric love. Because this love makes you go into the cycle. And samsaric love. Or worldly love, you know. Sometimes it's called painful love. Love is very pain. Because this painful love, I mean, there is no space. You love, but because you force the love. Not come from your heart. And conditioned love is carried with the intentions of what? If you have condition, then you want to what? Possess, right? Possessive love. And if you are trying to possess someone, then that person have no space, right? Doesn't God can maybe your husband, you know, to try the beginning, you try to possess him or her, you know, as a young man go out in the world, you know, try to possess a young woman, or a woman try to possess a young man. And they try to do in any kind, you know, like give, for example, Valentine, you know, try out and you know, give and do some surface things, you know, try to deceive, right? We seem like we are offering some kind of gift, but in there's an intentions of possessing of something that you want to get really whole, and it's like ownership, for example, right? So you try to own him or her. And if you try to own someone, and then that person have no space and to move around, you know. Even though the house is big, you know, I see walking some house big, but there is, you seem, you go walk into the house, you see, you can feel the feeling. You can feel it. It's hot, it's kind of suffocating. Even though there's a big house, just only two person, and a husband and a wife. But you walk in, you can feel it right away. You can feel the air in the house. Because each one play a role now, you know. Even the husband try to possess the wife, you know, not to let him go out, for example, you know. You have to come back a certain time. It's okay, you know. You go out and you let someone know this. You come back. But if you keep doing that, and you try to take the freedom, the space of that person. And that we call attachment love. Because you attach to that person. That's the quality of this kind of love. That's why I call it worldly love, you know. Attachment love. You attach to that person. And once we try to attach, but when somehow we can't, and attachment and lead into like a kind of greedy, right? Because this is like a link. It generates a link. Because we agree, so we try to attach that person. And if you cannot do, you cannot get hold of him or her, and you become what? Anger. So it's the link, see? Greed become into like anger, generally angry, greed, anger, and then anger, and then lead into what? Hatred. So that's the link. That's why I call samsaric love. Let's go back into the circle and lead into hatred, and in anger and hatred, and then we lead into like aggressive violence. And that's why we have so many households have what we call domestic violence. Aggressive. Men aggressive toward women. And sometimes women also aggressive toward men. Vice versa. So it's generally all this character. And if you cannot aggressive... And this is the characters of conditioned love. And if your husband or your wife hang around with someone and you become what? Jealous, right? Someone that is nicer than you, for example. Or maybe kinder, a little bit kinder than you. And then you have in your heart, you generate the quality of jealousies. And then you, when you're jealous, and you cannot say it, and you blame into different things. Jealous. And then lead jealously into blame. So that's why I call it painful, and then it's samsaric. It's a cycle. Maybe you don't blame him directly to coming home late, but you might blame to your children. For example, you say... Try to get him listen, you know, or her listen, and say that, you know, and say harsh word to your children. And your children is like a victim. Now your children has become a victim now. And you condemn him or her at that because of the condition of the thing that you cannot be satisfied. And you have so, and you generate so many wrong perceptions in you. Whatever he does or she does, you generate the wrong perceptions. You have the wrong perception on that person. Because your thinking is now diluted, polluted. So you not really have a clear view of what it is and what your husband or your wife does. So you create a lot of wrong perceptions. And that wrong perception creates a disharmony in a family. First, it's disharmony in yourself. You see that your emotion is disharmony. It's not harmony in yourself. And you radiate that out to everybody in your house. And slowly you become fear. Now you become a victim of fear. Of losing your wife or your husband or maybe someone else that you have. And doubt is another, you know? Because you're always in doubt. You doubt of him that, you know, even if he go to the library and you doubt, you know, he might go out with someone. Or he go out with someone. So doubt is always in your mind. And slowly, that kind of the sea of doubt is too much in you. And everything has become doubt in your house. And fear is overcoming you. And your health is slowly going down. You see how it's affecting your health. And now you slowly become not very beautiful. Because everything you, you smile, but you smile with a doubt. And you become less beautiful. And now he or she will be slowly withdraw from you. See, you see how it's become a circle now. And in you, always there's an energy of restlessness. You don't feel peace. And that kind of energy is in you. And how can, if you have that kind of energy, how can you help your children? How can you help yourself? So restlessness energy. This is what you generate all the time when you have a doubt in your mind and you have fear in yourself. And yourself, you become very fragile. Fragile. And you always feel agitated in yourself. Agitations. This is what's going on. And what your word come out is very sour. All the time, that's what you generate. Instead of you produce or generate, a sweet energy, now you become generate everything you talk become very sour. But you don't know, because nobody tell you, nobody help you, and we become a victim of ourselves all the time. And you don't know, and nobody have able to shine light on you. So how can you know? You always. Overwhelmed by this energy, and but if you're lucky, you have some friends or some teacher. You say, and you come to him and you talk, and he say, "How come today you become very sour?" And it's wake you up. It's wake you up. But he or she have to talk with you in a very loving way, so for you able to open yourself and receive and reflect. Once you're able to receive and you reflect, I say, oh, that might be create me a lot of unhappy in me. So if you are lucky, you have a Sangha and you come. So you are lucky if you have a Sangha and you come and you share that with your Dharma brother and sister. And they can shine light on you. And you can ask, you say. So that's why what I have a Sangha is really help. That's why you take we say you take refuge in your Sangha, or Sangha eyes, to help you. And there's in the Sangha there's many people that have a genuine heart that help you and brought you out, bring you out of the situation, you know, pull you out from that situation. So practice with the Sangha is really supporting you. In many aspects in your practice. And you become, if you are not able to help someone help, and you become very active, reactive, whatever your husband say, whatever your children say, you react right away. Because there you are lacking the sense of calmness. Lacking that. Because you always produce this energy, how can you have the quality of calmness in you? To slow yourself down so that you can react slowly. And so you become this kind of person. I don't know how to say it. Sour puss? Sour puss. We call gaukan. You become very proud. You know, like, yeah. That's what one of the words the Buddha said to his disciple, sour puss. Whatever you touch, and you become this sapas right away. And I just learned this word this morning. I look up in the sutra and I say, whoa. become that. Because you have all these qualities that make you this sour person.
Is bitter another
word? Yeah, bitterness. Bitter. You know, very bitter. We call bitter melon. You know, we, in Vietnamese, we call it bitter melons. And everything that touches you become bitter or sour person. So you have to, you become that kind of, you become a victim. You don't know. And that's why the Buddha, when he looked at the person and he said that, and you look down and he said, oh, you know, deep down there's something sweet, but you have to able to look very deep in order to see that. But normally we just only see on the surface what that person acts, and we base on the action, and we react back, and it's become like fire, you know, fire, and you put more like gas, and it's get more burning. That's what it is. Because we lack in the qualities of calmness, the quality of stability, lacking that. And whatever we do, we always ask for a return. That's what the condition is. You do, I do you a favor, you have to do me something. That is the condition. Love.
So practice in such a way you don't become bitterness, okay? And sourpuss. You know, you have to become very sweet and gentle and caring.
So if our practice go in this direction, then our practice, we have to look back and see. So the more you practice, you become bitterness. Yeah, there is people, I know that. People, the more they practice, the more they become very bitter. Because they have the insights, but they're always like judgmental. It's very sharp, so they lack in the kindness. So they can able to, once we have the insight, but you lack in the quality of compassion, then it's very sharp. Then whatever you see, you just see the something wrong. That's why I become very bitter. I see there's teachers that too. Because whatever, you know, the disciple do wrong, and they see it right away. But if they lack in the quality of compassion, the quality of letting go, then that's why you become so bitter and you become so sour. You become so sourpuss.
So when you sit back, if you see yourself, you say, oh, why am I water so sour? Then you know that you are walking in the wrong directions.
So we have to reflect on our practice every day and see how, what directions we are going, you know. It's just like the boat, you know, when the boat get off the harbor, the people who, what do you call, the captain, have to check the boat, you know, which direction is the boat is going. And you know, and oversee whether see the boat is okay. Sometimes the boat have a small leak, right? And then slowly, the more you go further, and then it's more getting leak. The same thing you want. And it's the same thing here. So in Vietnamese, we call hụt lậu. Condition is hụt lậu. It's leaking. Hụt lậu. Tình thương hụt lậu. I mean, it's always leaking. It's leaking in a different way. You know, all this making is leaking. And if we are in this samsaric love, and we always, there's a lot of up and down in our life. A lot of up and down in our life. So that's why practicing meditation is allow us to. That's why vipassana and samatha practice is very important. Vipassana, samatha is first is to calm yourself down, and then vipassana is to look deep, to look. So we always is return to samatha and vipassana practice. So that's why to reflect back. So is you able to calm yourself and able to return. And to reflect on that. So that's the quality of samatha and vipassana. So that's why we are meditating every morning. First here, you come here, you meditate. You calm yourself down, right? And then we can do walking meditation. So you can do, you look while you walk, but you look deeply in your each step that you make. Each
breath that you make. So that's is the focus of our practice. So in conditioned love, there's always thirsty. You're thirsty for something. Thirst, desire, deceptive. That's part of the quality of it. Sensuality. That's part of its characters, its quality. So next, I want to talk about the next characters of love is neutral love. So this is much a little bit better. Neutral love. So this love is like mutual respect. So for example, you go to the your flight, and the flight attendant come to you, and he or she brought you some juice, some drink, soft drink. And whether you take it or not, it's neutral, you know. So you don't have to be angry on you, or you don't have to be angry on that person, right? So it's mutual. So that's the example. I just come thinking about the attendant. Flight attendant, yeah, she brought me, you know, this is hard coffee. And then whether you say, oh, can I have some coffee? But if you don't say, then it's okay. If you don't want it, it's okay. So you don't have to be angry. Say, why don't you drink hard coffee, right? Yeah, or this is soft drink. So I just come up to my this morning. I say, flight attendant is like mutual. She bring you something. And if you don't accept it, you don't receive it, it's okay. So you don't have to be, you know, say, go on to another next passenger. And like politeness, you know, she polite to you and she, and you polite to her, right? Polite. So have the quality also letting go too, you know. So that's what I can come up with, neutral love. So it's much better than you don't have to generate all the other characters. For example, like anger, you don't have to go with some circle of love. And the next character is unconditioned love. So this is much better. And unconditioned love is carry the sense of like lightness in you, you know. It's more... feel there is some happy in you, happiness in you, joys, and it's you don't have to, and then it's more like peaceful, you know. And this example is like for the Buddha. May I use the Buddha as an example? He loved all sentient beings, unconditioned. Whether you come to him with a cruel mind or you come to him with a compassionate mind, he loved equally. So an example is like Ungulimala, he's the killer, and he tried to kill the Buddha. You know that his last fingernail is to kill the Buddha to accumulate 1,000 fingernails in order to him to complete his wishes to for his teacher. So he and everybody tried to stop the Buddha not to go out on that day. He will get killed, right? But the Buddha said, I have to, because of his love for Ungulimala, we go to the, like Wendy and us, we go to the Ungulimala hermitage, the place, the cave. And the Buddha loved him equally. He know that Ungulimala is have intentions, very devil, attitudes and intentions, but he still loved him anyway. And finally, he transformed him into his disciple. So unconditional love, we have a lot of space and freedom. There's non-fear in it. The quality of non-fear is very important. So when you love someone without any conditions, then there is no fear, there is no worry in you. And you create a lot of space for yourself. And that's why you're able to embrace easily whatever is happening around you. And your heart always warm and cozy. And your mind is always calm. So this leading us into the four. Now that's what I define the four of the three different kind of love. Now we go into the teaching of the Buddha. So after we go to three different definitions of love, now we go into the four Or you can fall, you can say it's for immeasurable love. That's normal, isn't it? For immeasurable, immeasurable or limitless love.
Okay, is this the same thing as before immeasurable?
Okay. Yeah, the same thing is for immeasurable love. So this four is like unconditional love. And the first one we call metta. Metta can be translated as loving kindness or loving friendliness. I like the term loving friendliness. So in the mindfulness in plain in English, there's a story in Venerable Hine Pola Gunaratana. He one time he in this book there is he tells a story, and he experienced himself. And he's a monk, monastics, and he go around and give teachings. And one day he was at the airport in they call in London, and he changed the plane, and then he had like several hours at the airport. So he don't know. He just normally, as a practitioner, we know a lot of things to do. So he go into meditation and he sit in a bench, and a lot of people, you know, get up, plane, you move into different directions. You can sit at the airport and you can see that. And while he was there for several hours while waiting for the next flight, so he's sitting at the airport and he say, "Oh, you know, I have a couple hours, so what I should do is meditate." And he crossed his leg and sit on a bench in the airport, and he closed his eye and meditate. And while he meditate, he was practicing metta, loving kindness, and he tried to send energy, his loving kindness to everyone. And while he was sitting there and he meditated, closed his eye, and suddenly, and there's a child, 2 years old, you know, and running around, and you know, and come to him, and you know, grab his neck, and you know, just like, and he feel, "Oh, there's two gentle hands on my neck," you know, and he just sit, and he sit, and he just continue sitting, and he opened his eye, and he saw, "Oh, there's the child, 2 years old, running around, you know, with a stranger," and the child never know him in the airport, but because he sit and he radiate out the energy of metta. And the child sense it and come to him and just play with him, you know, grow and grab his neck and sit on his leg. Think of that. And the mother, you know, tried to run around and catch him, you know. And her mother says, you know, "Please let my child go." And she said, "Yeah." And they say, "Please go. Your mom is waiting for you. And your mom have a lot of gift for you, candy for you, toys for you." And but the child just coming back. Just go, no, now, you know, let hold of him. You know, just come back. And they and just like her friend. You know, just and her mom tried to, you know, to let him, you know, let him go, you know, and ask him, just bless my child and let him go. But the child never go, you know, tries to cry and, you know, tries to borrow on him. And he was thinking, "Oh, you know, I said, the child is sensing my love, you know." And children is very sensitive to this kind of, if you are friendly to them, they know it and they sense it and they come to you right away. And I feel that when I around with children and even dog, even animal, they feel your love. And just like our neighbor dog, you know, whenever the dog, my neighbor just let me out, he just run down here, you know, and run around me like just like so happy, you know, just run and play and so happy. And I feel that too, you know, I feel he sends my love. And every time I just pack him and say, "Come and sit," you know, and he's listen. He's calm and sit, you know. Sometimes I walk outside and he come. Last time I pen, you know, in the front, and he come and sit next to me every time, you know. As I sit and then I pen and then he walking up and goes, I say, "Sonny," and he call back and sit again. And so it made me so happy, you know. And sees the dog, and he's so love, you know, because I feel there's no barrier between me and him. Even if he's a dog, I treat him as a human, and be friend. Yes, and so if you practice this, you know, and you when you practice, you feel a lot of energy in you, energy, and it can heal you, metta. So metta love. So every morning you get up in the morning, this is what you generate: loving friendliness to everybody, and including yourself. And that is the unconditional love. And if you're able to do that every day, I think it's really you feel your life different. A lot different. Metta love. And there's another story. He tells a story, and he said that when he just opened his center in West Virginia, and this neighbor is so much hate him, you know. They never tried to look at him, and every day they pass by his place, and they have their face very proud. I don't know how to say this word. How say that? Proud. And he just every time he take a walk and he wave him, and the neighbor never wave back at him, you know. Every day like that, and he said, I never give up on him. I never give up on him. And so every day. And then the first year, and then just going on, and then first year, and then his neighbor say able to wave to him, and just one hand, one finger wave. And then the second year, he said that they can wave two finger. And the third year, three finger. And the next year, and then he able to, you know, raise the whole hand to wave at him. So one day, this neighbor get into accidents. And into our car, into the tree, fall over, and his back, and he could, he's got paralyzed for a while. So every day he send the metta, love to this neighbor, and finally the fourth year, and able to come and say good, to wave. And one day he said that he traveled for somewhere else for a while, for months, and the neighbor didn't see him, and they come to look for him. Now, come and look for him to say where he is. So he's patient for 4 years, you know, able to. Every day he said, I never give up on this neighbor, you know, send love to him every day. And even though he's in accident, he's very bad, but able to transform him for 4 years, take for a long time to transform for one person. So if you're able to do that, and I think you can change the person you love around you. But you have to be very patient, very patient. Not just a day or two, you know. If you have some difficulty with your partner, you have to be patient and send love, metta love to him every day. And one day, he will transform. But sometimes we are out of patience. We cannot wait, you know. But as a practitioner, he's a monk, so he should be patient. In a worldly life, it's hard, you know, for you to wait a year or two or three. But I think if you're able to do that, you can transform. You can see the result. So, like, today is, like, Valentine's Day. A lot of people send messages of love, right, to their friends, their partner. But their message of love is different, a little bit more conditioned love. I think that's mostly, if we live in the world, that's what we are. Mostly doing, you know, send out love, but in a conditioned love. If someone not sent you back, then you begin getting angry, and that's how easy, you know. And it's not very easy to practice this metta love. So the Buddha suggests us to practice is first to send love to ourselves. Yeah, in order to love someone else, you have to love yourself. So that's the first practice is to love yourself, able to love. If you're able to love yourself, then you're able to love other person. But you're not able to love yourself, then if you talk about love, then it's just mechanical. So the Buddha suggests a very practical practice is to send love to yourself in the morning. That's easy, You know, self-love is easier than, you know, love other people. So it's much easier. And then the next practice he offer is to love someone that you are very close with. For example, is your children. It's easy, easier. Your children and your partner, and then your parents. So if you marry, I think the first one you love is your children, right? Yourself and your children. And can be either your husband or your parents. So that's easier to practice. We send out love. So you sit down and you bring up the image of your children. And your children is very fresh. So if you imagine that, children is very fresh all the time. You look in their eyes, you can see the freshness. And if you are working a lot with around adult people, it might be stress. But you work with children, you can see that. Even though sometimes they are stubborn, they run around a lot, but there you can see the freshness and the innocence. And that's what we need in that. So you bring the image, you know, bring yourself, visualize the children. And there's many beautiful children. And one time this last week, I was kind of a lot of stress on me because of the fundraise. Put on me a lot of stress. And one time I took Sigo, you know, one of the nuns came here to help the fundraise. And then I took her to visit her cousins, and which have two children. And then I come there and I play with the children. Get me more, a lot more, much energy. They run around, they grab my neck, they hold on my back. But I feel very fresh, you know, and the innocence. And it's good for me. It's time for me to relax after all this kind of stress. And I feel that. So in the morning, you bring up that kind of image to yourself to start out your day with freshness. And so that's the second person you practice. And the third person you practice is someone that's neutral. Neutral. As we're talking about neutral love. Someone that you don't have to be hate, or someone that you have to love. So it's easier to practice. So you bring the image of that person in your life. And there is a lot of neutral people in your life, right? Friends that you just share with. But you don't have to be angry, or you don't have to go deeply in their life or your life. So bring up that image and contemplate, visualize that. And the next one is harder, is the person that you don't like. And how can you practice? This is difficult practice. In your life, you have someone that you don't like and can be your enemy. And you bring up that person because you have all these three person already in your life. So the fourth one is your enemy. How can you send love to your enemy? How can you do that? That's difficult, right? And in our life, you have there is some, at least one or two person in our life that you don't like. So the question is, how could we do that? If that person is very evil, right? Is for example, he's a killer, right? Something like that. How can you able to send that love? So the Buddha say is you send love so that you can take the appropriate actions, right? So when your mind is calm, you able to take the appropriate actions. That's what it is. So you know what to deal, how to deal with that person's. So, for example, if someone say that if you say I practice metta and whatever people does, you know, slap on my face, can you slap another face? Can you do that? No, you have to hold that person's hand, right, and stop. That's the proper. You send the love because you stop that person from creating the negative karma. That you already send love. Can you do that, right? So, for a killer, you try to stop that person. So that he or she no longer generate more negative actions for himself and more harm for himself and for other people. So that means you already send love to that person. You will stop the negative karma for that person. That's how you do. So there's a way you can do it. So don't say that, oh, you know, I practice love, you know, whatever he's the, you know, I just allow him. No, you have to stop. If you're a police, that's what the police does. You know, some police have good heart. If you are running over speed, sometimes we hate him because he give you a ticket. I just get one ticket from the Gondor. I'm not speeding, but because I didn't receive the sticker, and then expire, and they give me a ticket. And at first, I'm not happy. I'm not happy when you give me a ticket, and I say, and he say, and we have a polite conversation, and he say that why don't you just go to call the police department and say that you didn't receive the sticker. So they might be up, you know, release your ticket. And sometimes we are very angry. Everyone, when you get a ticket, you don't happy with the police. But if like we run over speed and we get someone get an injury, you know, for that result, we don't know. You know, there's something that happened. So police, they do something that is very, you sit down and you contemplate and you say, police does something good for you. You know, you he able to stop your bad karma. If you run over speed, you can run over to somebody. You create something. So when I think of that, and then I generate the love for the police. Otherwise, it's hard to generate the love for the police. You know, they always give you a ticket, right? But because they do the right things, and so when we look deeply, we're able to see that and generate our love easier. And the same things when. Our parents try to stop us to do something. And they see ahead of the result in accordance to the experience. But we, as a young child, we don't understand. You know, for me, when I was young, I don't, you know, when my teacher says something, I was resistant. And I don't want to listen to him. But after a while, you know, like many years in practice, I turn back to love him more because I understand more. Because I understand that I'll say, or whatever he tell me, he teach me not to do that because he tried to prevent of my negative actions. But because of my lack of understanding, I turn into hate him. You know, even the young children, they hate their parents to go out late. But the children don't see the result of going out late. First is to cause their health, you know, stay up late is not good for their health. But they don't see that, right? As students, they don't see that. But parents, they have this kind of love, you know, kindness love to their children. Without, you know, even the children hate him, sometimes talk back, you know, very close at him or her. But parents, they know. So that's why we send our love metta to our parents. It's easy. Because when we become adult, we mature, we have experienced life, then we turn back to love. You all here, some of you are already parents, and you know all you experience that. I think every parents, myself, I don't have children, but I experience that too. My teacher, for many different teachers teach me and look back and I see the love is very unlimited for the disciples, for the young novice. And because of the lacking of insight, lacking of the experience. So sending love to all four different kind of people. So at first we send love to someone that is easy for us to receive, easy for us to love, then it's easy. And slowly we go out further, you know, someone that becomes. So that's why in Buddhism we don't have enemy. You see, Buddhism we don't have enemy. We say our enemy is our ignorance, lacking of insight. That's our enemy. Person, human is not our enemy because they all want to receive this kind of love. So that's why teaching can say that human is not our enemy. Yeah, our enemy is ignorance, our ignorance. So we send love to all four kind of people in our life. So once we're able to practice, then we don't have enemy. Then our life must become much easier. But it's not that easy, you know, when we say that easy. But when coming to reality, coming to practice, it's not easy. There's a lot of jealousy in our society. A lot of violence in our society. If you do something good, other people don't like it. And how can you able to share that practice, share that love with them? It's not. But there is. But we can do it. And so, as I is that clear for everyone? Explaining. So we are running out of time. So there is other three qualities of metta, of limitless love, is compassion and appreciative joy and equanimity. So that's three qualities. If there's a book called Learning by Tay. Learning to love, not to love. Huh? What is that book? I forgot the book on something love. To love. Yeah. And he explained this very clearly and how to practice. And because I just want to explain the first one, because if you understand the first one, and then you can move the next one easier. So you can discover yourself, or you know, explore and investigate more three other: compassion, love, appreciative joy, and equanimity is another word for letting go. You treat everyone equally. And so this is the practice. It's not just only to say as by word only. You can see through the two story, you know, Venerable Guna Ratana, how he practiced and how he can transform himself and the people that are around him. So if we can practice metta in our everyday life, I think you feel much better and much light in your way of life. And every day in the morning, get up and generate good thoughts. There's nothing to cost, and you know, it's costless. But it's costless, but priceless, you know. Instead of generating negative thoughts in the morning, get up and practice some metta love, and that is how the Theravada practice monks and practice every day. They have they reach the metta sutra to heal themselves and to transform them. And share that with other people who bring donations, contributions to them. And they don't have much to share, but they share their love. And that's what I do too. I share my love with you. So thank you for your listenings. And there's more that we can go more deeper into it. But I think it's the practical thing is to put into the gestures and practice it, so that you can able to taste the juice of it. That's the essence of the Dharma. If you don't put into practice, then you never taste. You can learn the Dharma for eons of years, and you never taste the juice. But the essence is to taste the juice of the Dharma, and to taste the drink, the juice of the nectar, of the metta, of the loving kindness, loving friendliness. So when you're able to drink that juice, and you can become a healing person. And love is a healing, you know that. When you're young, you're sick, and your mom just come and put the hand in your head, and you feel you already got some healing. And because you feel secure, you feel warm. And the word metta also relate to this word here in Sanskrit, they call mitta. And mitta also relate to, refer to as the center of the sun. And how love it is, you know. The center of the sun is warm, right? At the center. This is like love. So at the center of the sun. So the sun is always radiate something that is warm. Same thing is love. When love is there, it's radiates out. Something is cozy. Something is warm. So help to heal. So the son have to heal the war. And the same thing, love help to heal the wounds in us. So it's metta. So when love is there, life is possible. Life. Make life possible. So that is my sharing for today. So I hopefully can help you and please look deeply into that and put that into the practice. What I share with you is the practice, not to share with you by my intellectual contemplate, so that you can be benefit. We can talk endlessly about love and share different story and different experiences. So we'll conclude here. So please relax and bring yourself back and write to each of the bell so that we can conclude our Dharma talk here. Thank you for your listening.